This is the Continuing Theological Education Conference, the Director of Missions and World Redemption, Tuesday, January 19th, 1981. This is tape number 2 in the series, Side 2, Left Channel. In this session, we'll hear from Dr. Lewis Drummond, leading in lay training and evangelism, 7 to 8:30 p.m.
If we get them undergirded and do well in these kind of areas. Now, those are the principles. If you don't know about CWT, get in for. Try to get. That's how I'm on the whole mission board now, don't I? That's just a section, but I'm not. I would urge my churches and my association, if I were you, to really get involved in this. Now, there needs to be an associational clinic to inform the pastor. Maybe you could even do it if your association is of such a size and such a nature to do this in the area. Do it in the context of a whole association, but it's designed for the local church because it's from the local church that you can do this on-the-job training so well. But be sure to it. Be sure. It seems to me that it's got these basic kind of ingredients in it, and if it appears a little weak, beef it up. But we've got. Now, back to a church growth principle here. That's the sort of the first block of material. Now, they do tie together, make a bit of sense, even though it might not appear that way at first. Back to what we discovered in church growth. One of the men who's been, of course, a big name in church growth is Pete Wagner out at Florida Theological Seminary, their school of church growth and missions. You're familiar, of course, with this fine institution. And this is, of course, where the father of the whole church growth movement, Donald McGavern, is sort of the father of that, not only that institution, but in a sense, word of the whole movement. Here's what Pete Wagner discovered. The people who really get trained and become that regular, zealous Thursday night or Sunday afternoon or whatever, door knocker, and become a real soul winner, which we sometimes think everybody who goes to CWT or to EE or to Campus Crusade ought to become that. Those people are relatively few in our churches. Now, don't hear me undercutting what I said. I'm going to try to put it together. But we got to face this fact. About, in the average church, 10% of the church membership becomes the real Thursday night, knock on the door, cold turkey, soul winner. Church is really involved. Now Wagner, he brings us this statistic from the life of churches. Yeah, you're right, most of our churches. Pete Wagner is bringing this figure of 10% to the churches that have a real continuing training program. Still only about 10% of those who are in that kind of a church are the real door knockers. That means 90% untouched. You know that only 15% of Kennedy's own church? Only about 15% of Kennedy's own church end up like this. There's about that, so to speak, at all. Well, what about this 90, or at best 85%? Let me make two or three introductory remarks before I go into this next block of material, what we're going to do with those folks. Number one, everybody needs to be trained to share their faith. Regardless, only 10% of them really end up as the great, you know, reapers. Everybody needs to know how to share their faith and have some kind of commitment to it. That's the first thing I want to say, sort of making the transition over to the next block of material. Secondly, when you really analyze the situation, you don't need more than 10%. Everybody sowing, watering, cultivating, and if all of our members were doing that, you don't need but 10% of your people who are gifted as real reapers. And I am persuaded that there's not only a real scriptural foundation for this, but it just works beautifully if we can see how God, by His Holy Spirit, designs the church and the church's ministry of outreach. With 90%, you know, hopefully doing their thing that precipitates sowing, watering, cultivating, and then God giving the gift of the evangelist. The gift of the evangelist to about 10% of the faithful workers of the church. That's all you need to reap the harvest. You know, farmers spend about what percentage of their time gathering the crop into the barns. They can do it in a few days, don't they? But there's an awful lot of plowing up the fallow ground, the planting of the seed, and the fertilizing and the cultivating before they get to that last thing. The principle applies to the church. Now, here is where then this 90% of the people fit into the whole scheme. Now, what are we going to do with those? Well, we are going to train them in personal evangelism so they can share their faith, but you just know, they're not going to be that one who's down there every Thursday night knocking the community dead, you know, zapping them with the gospel, like the 80%. How are we going to utilize it? Well, we are back, and I'll just go through this rather rapidly and then try to put it all together, but this is the second thing I want us to see at second primary thing, Roman numeral 2, if you will, and that is training people to utilize what ministry gift they do have. Training this other 90% who do not have the gift of the evangelist, who are not, you know, evangelists, soul winners, but are to be witnesses. There's a lot of difference between those two terms, in my way of thinking, or at least the way I'm trying to use it here. But who, in the context of understanding and utilizing the ministry gift that they do have, they share their faith in with us, which we train them to do. You get the idea? Well, let's look just real quickly, just sort of refresh our minds. You may not have looked at it of late, although we have been constantly bombarded with this from every source. Look at that Ephesians 4 passage. When he ascended on high, this is beginning with verse 8, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to man. Then down, of course, in the well-known 11 and 12. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipment of the saints under the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. It's very evident from this passage, as you well know, and from Romans chapter 12, as you well know, and above all from First Corinthians chapter 12, that we have here God's design for the body of Christ as a ministering, full-functioning, gifted body. Now, the theology of this, of course, is really, it's quite marvelous, but it is really quite simple. Let me just sort of rehearse these things just real quickly to get our minds in focus here now, then I'll try to say some hopefully practical things here that we can do right in the context of our associations and in our churches. What the Holy Spirit is trying to do with the church today is to build a body of Christ. As you know, this passage here in Ephesians 4 begins, there is one body. It ends up in verse 16, which is an entire paragraph. It upbuilds itself in love and the consequences of bodily growth. And you well know First Corinthians 12 passage as well, where it talks about the church is the body of Christ. All the Holy Spirit is trying to do is to make the church a body of Christ. You know as I do, that a lot of our churches, they got a withered arm and a gained leg. And they're deaf in one ear, blind in one eye, and sort of spastic, they kind of hobble through life, you know, crying very feebly, you know, come to Christ. And you don't present a real dynamic kind of image to the community. Now, the reason is that we've got members that don't function. Why don't they function? Why don't they function? I believe they don't function because they don't understand their own spiritual ministry. They've never come to understand their own spiritual gift. Now, without making a big apologetic, which you have to do in a lot of churches because we've been so influenced by these kind of terms with the charismatic movement, but I think we're mature enough we don't have to rehearse it here. Very evident in the New Testament what these ministering gifts are, what these charismata are, and how the Holy Spirit employs them. Let me just turn over to this First Corinthians passage here. It struck me one day as I was reading here in the first three or four verses, actually, verses 4 through 6, a beautiful kind of dual trinity that Paul uses here. You know, Paul was, he was a thinker, wasn't he? Listen to this. Two trinities here in verses 4 through 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 4. Verse 5, there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are varieties of working, but the same God. Obviously, here we have a reference to the triune nature of God, Spirit, Lord, God. And over here, workings, service, ministries. From out of the triune God, we have bestowed upon whoever, I'll get to that in a moment, these spiritual ministries. And upon whom are they bestowed? The latter part of verse 6 and the first part of verse 7. You know your Greek syntax well enough to know when you start off a sentence with a dative prepositional phrase, that's where the emphasis is. Verse 6 concludes, who inspires them all in every one. And then just to really drive it home, Paul says, to each one, verse 7. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Simply put, as we know, all true members of the body of Christ have been endowed by the Holy Spirit with a given ministry. not a believer in the body of Christ who does not have a functional position. You know what? We know all that stuff. But I go to church after church after church. I sometimes take a whole weekend off all these things. You know what? I have a church member having no clue what he's talking about. Because here's what they've been accustomed to. And we've fostered this a bit, all of us, and I'm going to kill this the next person. We're going to start our new church programming next year. And so we sort of map it out, you know. We get the nominating committee, depending on the size of the church. Some churches have to get their nominating committee in October for the next year. My last pastor here in Louisville, we had to have 175 teachers' offices every year. Lord have mercy, it was terrible every year. It would always end up, you know, just about the last month or so, you know, almost in a tizzy panic. You know, man, we haven't got a teacher here, I've got a superintendent here. So we just grab anybody and cram them in the cubbyhole, and then when we got done, you know, when promotion day rolled around, man, it looked great. We had them all filled. Let me tell you what that Sunday school was like. It had a withered arm and a game leg and a non-hearing ear. And it was pretty weak. And we started with a program instead of people. And we got some square pegs and round holes to mix the metaphor. Okay. My thesis is we've got to start with our people and help them and train them in two or three basic areas. And I'll tie it in to this in a moment, which I think you'll see. First of all, we've got to help them discover what their ministry is. Their spiritual gift, to keep it in spiritual terminology. You know, we're all charismatic. People discover their gifts. That's part of the training. Man, if I had time, I'd give you my ten commandments on how to discover your gift. You want me to just read them quickly? Okay. Should I go slow? You want to write them down? All right. Here's how I try to train my people. They have the opportunity of training on how to discover your gift. Number one, realize that you have a gift because you are in the body of Christ. If anybody says, I don't have a spiritual gift of ministry, that's tantamount to saying I'm lost and don't know God at all. Everybody that's in the body of Christ has a spiritual gift. We got to help our people to realize that. And that's the first step on how to discover your gift. Then I ask a series of questions. Number two, how has God used me in the past? How has God used me in the past? Clarification of that question. Not what have I done in the church in the past, but wherein do I discover God will use me? I've done some things in the past in the church. How did God use me? I just couldn't do that. When I went right down to it, I honestly, God couldn't do that. insight as to what my spiritual gift really is. Number three, what do others say? What do others say? This may sound superficial, but it really isn't. What do I like to do? What do I like to do? Hey, do you know what I like to do? What I do well. Have you noticed when you really do something well, you kind of like that, don't you? If you fall flat on your face, not much fun. Could it not be that if we do well, we do it well because this is God's enablement gift to perform that task in Christian ministry? See, it's not nearly as superficial as it sounds. Number five, we really need to get into the Word and discover what these 19, or 20 gifts are. And if you'll study them carefully, you'll see that they're a pretty generalized category of gifts, aren't they? There's the gift of teaching. And in our instructors, and I think that that's absolutely right the way we do it. There's some who are going to be gifted to teach preschoolers. There's going to be those who are gifted to teach, teenagers, other adults. And if somebody is, we didn't care a few years ago, we don't do so much anymore. But if somebody really excels in the beginners, we push them up to the primaries. They're really good in the primaries, we push them up to the juniors. And they do a halfway decent job with the juniors, we finally promote them up to the adults. How dumb! If they're good in the primary department, keep them there! See?
In school, it's education on the Sunday study. I can teach 18 years and up. And never keep me in any of those groups.
Yeah.
It is not that crazy.
Sure.
Nice for teaching.
Sure. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well,
ask a question.
Yeah. General, I think what we have listed in the Bible are general categories of gifts. Sort of an umbrella kind of term. Teaching. Wow. That involves everything from what I'm doing to what that person's doing teaching that class of retarded people. You see? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. much of that North talks about, the gift of health. You see what I'm trying to say? Here's how John Stott expresses it, if you read after John Stott in this area. In these general categories, there are probably thousands of different manifestations. You see what I'm saying? When you really think about it, is there anything the church needs to do that's not covered with these 19 gifts that are listed? I don't think music is a gift. I think music is a talent, the sheer musical talent, you see. Like the voice that I have to speak with is not a gift, it's a talent. Let me hasten to say, I didn't say this, but let me inject it right here. It doesn't mean that God doesn't use talents. Yes, God uses all that we are. I would say that the person who's got this beautiful musical talent maybe will have something of the gift of, you know, communicating the message of Christ in this talented way. I have heard people stand up and just sing like a skylark with such a beautiful voice, and he is stone cold spiritually. I've heard others stand up whose voices and musical ability left a bit to be desired. Somehow God gets you that, just blesses you, strengthens you, encourages you, helps you, draws you. You know what I'm talking about?
You know, in Jackson, Mississippi, we were prostituting Jesus.
What, isn't she here?
They would cry.
Yeah, she's supposed to be here this week. She's supposed to be here this whole month. I don't know what will happen to her. She's going to stay with us. And take my course. I'm trying to find out what happened. But at any rate, you're right. This girl can't stand for nothing.
So the gift of counselor can be changed.
Yeah, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Which book about Stott can you refer to? If a particular one.
Huh. Did I read this in Stott? I know John quite well. I've heard him speak to him. Maybe I heard him say that. Maybe I not think I
have some of
the I think I did hear him say that rather than read it. Yeah, I think that's right. I better protect myself here. I think I know what you're saying.
I wish you could play for writing.
Yeah, he's writing for that for writing. Really are. Okay.
Where are we? Yeah, study the list. Get our people informed. What? God's?
Man, is this too hard? I don't know whether a lot of our people really understand what God's trying to do in this world. God understands this correctly from the scriptures. You put it this way. If you were to hand a person the Bible who had never read it, heard it, seen it, knew what it was, and said, read this and come back and watch it and tell me what this book says. You know what they would say? God is out to redeem me and everything about me and my whole life. God is on a mission of redemption. And one of those gifts point to redemption. Not just talking about people getting saved. Talking about redeeming and righting every single wrong. But no dichotomy between social action and pietistic just personal evangelism, etc., etc., etc. By all teaching and health and administration, etc., all must be pointed to the redemption of a whole cosmos that sorely needs redemption. Anything that doesn't point in that direction is spurious and should be hacked off and discarded as a spurious growth sapping life and sustenance of the body.
That's what the gifts all center around, aren't they? Ministry, redeeming that which is wrong. It means people getting saved. It means the end of prejudices.
It means that deacon of a black family moves next door to him, he welcomes them with the love that he would a white family. And if that ethnic group over there is not getting a fair life? Well, that's what the study of the gifts will help. Help them know what they are. Number six. Hey, we got to hurry, man. Six. What doors are open to me? You know, I'm not going to be able to perform a ministry if the door is not open. That doesn't necessarily mean I go through it, but at least it's there to consider. Number seven, what challenges and burdens me? What challenges me? What burdens me? That doesn't necessarily mean that all of the challenges and all of the burdens of the world can be met. But maybe in the context of some of those, the Spirit of God will discern what you've got a real gift to meet some specific need that particularly burdens and challenges you. Number eight, how do I just honestly feel led of the Holy Spirit? There is that inner subjectivity about it all, too. It's just not all cut and dry, you know. Week 3, 4, 5, there's been times when I have acted solely and purely and completely as you have on an inner sense, this is what God wants. Right? You just cannot objectify the Christian faith alone. Now, of course, if you go too far in subjectivity, you end up in some kind of a wild mysticism. Granted, that's where we got the Bible. Even subjectively in line as well. But there still is the inner leadership and subjectivity of the Holy Spirit. Number nine, stay open. Don't get crystallized. I don't know, maybe there's some latent gift there that God has given, you know, that He wants to start forming the age of 58. Who knows? You know, God knows what He wants to do in 58. He hasn't used that gift up to this time because He hasn't needed it, because He's been using other gifts in your life. You see. But when you get to the age of 58, you know, God can open some brand new doors. Oh man, I'm too old, or I can do this, or I can do the other thing. I can't do that. I've never done. Stay open. You know, Cliff Farrell's father, when he retired, guess what he did? You know that story? That dear old man up in the 70s went to the Philippines as a missionary. Isn't that unbelievable? Well, hey, listen. We're doing that now. Service Corps, and boy, did she straighten out that Scottish Baptist headquarters office there in Gladysville. I was over there when she was there, and I went, so she had things popping around that place. It was just great. Stay open. You never know what God's going to do with you. Finally, maybe this is where we're finally just, you know, reduced. This is number 10. Just shut up to prayer. And intercede, agonizing before God. You know what? We don't teach our people much what it means to really agonize and intercede and just get a hold of God. You don't get a hold of God. 3 minutes a day. Oh, if I could do one thing for these students, it would be to make them men and
Well,
what about that?
That's not faith, that's presumption.
Yeah. You know, I'm not talking about that.
I think all of you are aware of this book.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, okay, we got to help people discover their gift. I think this is a very important part of training, so they know how to fit. Oh, it's so good to know where you fit and be happy there and dispel all of this jealousy and all of it. You know, going after this position. And, oh, there's so many people that don't really want to minister. They want a position. Right? When you're seeing who you are, really know who you are. Fit in the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit puts you there. Oh, boy, right. You just feel like you're alone. You belong. That's right, you belong. You know what? This hand is not jealous of this eye at all. You know what? This hand doesn't try to see. Feel the hole again in my arm. That's my claws. Well, just quickly, I know the time is gone. We got help. Train people to discover their gift, to develop it. You've probably seen these three D's before. Got one more. Just develop their gift. I think you're right.
full, we lost something when we lost our zeal for church training. We really have. Maybe it was true that after 20 years you don't have to stand up and read part of the tree. You know? And there should have been a lot of innovative stuff coming in earlier than what it did. But there's some great stuff. They're writing out some great stuff now. But old Roy Edgar, they're doing a fine job. Anybody can resurrect the training union. Then they didn't be probably to do it under God. Maybe that didn't come soon enough, all those things I was saying. God train our people in developing it. I think the basic thrust is that they develop their gifts. Why should I develop something I don't have? See? You get the point. And then finally, this is the way the church really needs to be designed. Not this. But start with people. And if a person's got a gift of teaching, then create a class around them. If a person's got an administrative gift, see that they've got an administrative situation to express that gift, and on and on and on. Now, I know, man, that you don't want to go to your churches back home and suggest that they throw everything out and start all over again. I have strange thing where they might begin. They might be said with you. We're going to get rid of that guy. He wants to come and turn everything over. But we can begin to move in that direction. You got to control people. You got to respect people's personality. You can't just bulldoze, you know, things through. But it seems to me that if we can get that 90%, well, 100% of course, yes, in principle, but the 90% of people who are here. Now, here's the point. Here's where the two things tie together. Witnessing for Christ, which is not a gift but a command. Witnessing for Christ in the context of the exercising of their spiritual gifts. You hear that? Witnessing for Christ in the setting and in the context of exercising what spiritual ministry gift they do have, which will just do so much plowing and cultivating and sowing and watering in the whole ramified ministry of the redemptive thrust of the church in a community. No, you needed that 10% to come off and reap the harvest. And you get the timing between those two blocks. I mean, that's what the church as the body of Christ is. I mean, that's why Paul can go someplace and have his traditional revival or a riot. You can both. And leave in a matter of thriving, conditioning, self-supporting, evangelizing, growing, ministering, extending church. How in the world can you pull that off? Oh, it was a different day. No, it wasn't a different day. It's a different culture. Well, it's a different culture, so what? We sometimes struggle on for years to missionary leave and work collapses. Why? Because Paul. There it is. Any quick questions? Well, we did pretty well. We didn't go to sleep after all of that.
suggestion.